This is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Jeff Horwich. Well, we are almost to the weekend, and if you're like lots of us, you're looking to catch up on some sleep. We spend a third of our lives doing it, or at least we're supposed to. 8 hours a night, we've been hearing that for years, but come on, who can do that? David Randall is making the latest push to convince us. He's a senior reporter for Reuters, and he's got a new book. It's called Dreamland, Adventures in the Strange Science of Sleep. Good morning.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Whenever I read a profile of a successful person in business or government, I rarely see the phrase, and he or she always gets a full night's sleep. In fact, you know, the perception is just the opposite. Successful people get by with, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours a night. Is that not true?
You know, this is an idea that goes way back. It goes back to Thomas Edison. Thomas Edison thought that the longer you were exposed to artificial lights, the longer you stayed up, you were basically like a factory, and that's how you could produce the best work. But research has kind of shown that we don't produce our best work that way. We can generally go maybe 1 day or 2 days with 6 hours of sleep or less. It's when it becomes a chronic thing, that's when it really starts to eat into our performance.
There are many people who keep our economy running all through the night. Custodians, manufacturing floors, meat packers, on the upper end maybe investors who work overnight to tap foreign markets. What's the personal price that's being paid by this graveyard shift part of our population?
Those who work swing shifts, especially those who work overnight the most, are most likely to have the ill effects of sleep deprivation, basically because their bodies can never really get into that cycle. We're built to go to sleep when the sun goes down and wake up when the sun goes up. There have been studies that show that, you know, nurses who work the night shift are more likely to get certain kinds of cancer. Doctors who work longer, when they drive home, they're more likely to get into an accident. And overall, about 1 out of 5 accidents are now caused by sleep deprivation.
We hear about companies setting up nap rooms, and you write about this because it's supposed to be good for the bottom line. Is that ever going to be more than just a completely obscure practice?
You see companies like Google and Nike doing this because, in part, so much of their advantage is the brains of their workers. You know, they attract the best workers. They want to have the best environment for them. And perhaps the best way to do that is to take a nap, because sleep has shown that to look and discover perhaps a pattern that wasn't necessarily obvious.
How is the culture ever going to change? Can it ever change? Because it only seems to be getting worse.
I think there's going to be a better appreciation of sleep as we kind of see the ill effects of the lack of sleep. The airline industry and transportation industry in general, for instance, they focus on sleep more because they see it truly as a life or death matter. If more companies see sleep as a way to get the best products out of their workers, they're going to emphasize it more. It's not going to be an altruistic thing saying we want them to be happier. It's going to be we want them to perform their best. And sleep really does make you not only the most competent version of yourself, but probably the best version of yourself.
The new book is called Dreamland, Adventures in the Strange Science of Sleep. I wouldn't normally say this to an author, but sure, you'd be pleased to know I fell asleep to it more than once.
That is good to know. It's the opposite of most people.
David Randall, thanks a lot.
Oh, thank you.